What if I told you everything you know about the world is wrong? What if I told you that all the things that you believe to be impossible are, in fact, very much an ontological possibility? Reality is not what you think it is. It is so much more complicated, fascinating, and above all, it is terrifying. You see, we are at the fringe of the map, and there's more than just dragons.
You have a lovely dinner with Evangeline.
I try the just bitters. It's bad, Adam.
It's bitter.
Evangeline, I don't understand this drink. It is just bitter.
He finishes off hers. I like to have it with a little bit of something in it.
I put a little bit of bourbon in my bitters. Does it taste better, Adam?
It tastes alcoholic.
Well, that tastes something.
By the time Ratty has arrived, the sun has set.
Yep.
60 years ago.
You dog fucker. What do you mean 60 years ago?
The screw that will one day become screw 11-K-T7 does not yet have a name, only a batch number.
Hang on. This screw is 60 years old.
One that it shares with hundreds of other screws. It trundles down a conveyor belt with its brethren past factory workers. Two men specifically with clipboards who walk in the opposite direction. The men tick off another completed batch, engrossed in their conversation about the military police from the 82nd Airborne stationed just outside this factory. It's unusual, and since it's only been a couple of years now since the Little Rock incident, the idea of military police in the South weighs heavily on a lot of people. The screws, now packed into a wooden box, meet the end of the production line, where, under the careful gaze of the 82nd Airborne, another worker slaps a delivery receipt onto the side of the box. Facility BWOF-006-Project Reichenbach. Rowdy arrives.
I can't. 60 years ago.
Yeah.
This screw has been around for 60. Yeah, no wonder it's fallen apart. Idiots. If they'd use better screw, go to Bunnings. Rowdy's here.
Rowdy's here, yeah. The three of you are sitting around the table. Evangeline makes polite conversation with Rowdy. She doesn't have the chemistry with Rowdy that she has with you.
She doesn't want to fuck and eat Rowdy.
She doesn't want to fuck and eat Rowdy, correct.
Yeah.
But she is nonetheless quite polite towards him. And Rowdy probably, at the end of your dinner, likes her more than he likes you.
That's not hard, Adam. I like to imagine
you're grating.
Yeah. I there was a time, I think, where my whole thing, Rowdy was like, this guy's really clever and like loves monsters. This is great. He's a really interesting guy. And then. I think post-Patchwork Man. I think when Josiah got back out, Rowdy was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Again with this shit?
I like to imagine that at some point, every now and again while we're tracking Josiah and his cult through America, we get somewhere, something fucked had happened, basically like here, and I'd just be like, I've got to go deal with this instead. And so Rowdy would have to just deal with whatever bullshit was happening there by himself. I'd annoy him constantly doing my thing, and then I'd come back and be like, well, we can keep going now. And he'd be like, ah. And I think it's been doing that for a long time. And then one day he was like, we should have separate cars.
What a funny progression.
Now that's where we're at. That's where we're at right now. We should have separate cars.
You finish dinner with Evangeline.
How was it? Pleasant?
It was nice.
Did I learn anything new about her? Do I know if I could trust her still? No, I don't.
You can make another wits empty.
No,
check.
There's no point, Adam.
Yeah, well, is there anything you'd like to know about her? She politely answers questions if you ask.
Yeah. Does she ask anything of me?
Yeah. Oh, well, she seems to know a little bit about you already, but she does ask some questions to put things together. Basically, just kind of like about maybe your upbringing, specifically where you were born.
Yep.
She asks maybe about your family as well.
Well, there's not many Melvilles left. I have a few cousins. I have a brother, but we don't really get on much. And he lives back home, looks over the family estate and things like that. But I got out of there as soon as I could. It was not a great place for somebody who is curious about the world. You know, small town, big sprawling house, etc. A lot of books, but don't get any ideas while reading them, if you get my drift.
Sure.
Wasn't too bad, though. But I grew up all right. I mean, that's where I had my first encounter with the
So there's a point in this conversation where Heracles would normally say, ontologically problematic.
Mm-hmm.
However, staggeringly, maybe we have to roll for this, but staggeringly, Heracles realizes that calling things of that nature that to Evangeline would be upsetting because Evangeline is ontologically problematic.
Sure.
Her entire existence is. So Heracles is like, I can't call it that because that's bad. And it also implies, this is all the layers of Heracles' brain are firing. It implies inherently that things that are ontologically challenging are problems. Maybe they're not. So I think Heracles catches himself and is like, ontologically challenging. When I was a kid down there, I got lost for 3 days. And I don't remember much of the 3 days. I used to tell stories, apparently, about how I had an imaginary friend. She lived in the woods behind the house, and I'd go out and have tea parties with her. Looking back, she does sound a little bit like a fae creature or fairy. I've not encountered anything like it before or since, after that event. And I used to call her the Tooth Fairy because that was my reference for it. You know, the Tooth Fairy would come in and give you money when your teeth fell out, and she'd always visit me when a tooth would fall out. And then one day we were out having a tea party, and she was really sad that day. I think it was the last day that I saw her, and she took my hand and we went into the woods, and I don't remember anything else except waking up on the other side of the woods, police looking for me. But just before I woke up, I had the strangest dream. I'm an old man, and I'm standing in front of a school bus. Well, not an old man, but older than this. And I'm standing in front of a school bus, and it's raining or it's night, it's dark, and there are soldiers with guns. And they shoot me, and I die. And then I woke up. And I knew that it wasn't a dream. No one believed me, of course. I'm a kid, and I've just been missing. They put it up to trauma. But I knew that I had seen the way I was going to die. I dream about that and every now and again, not always. I never found out what caused it. I still don't know. But that made me realize there are things in this world that do not make sense, cannot be explained, but that must be found out. And rather than being scared of any of that, I found it exciting.
Evangeline nods. She listened to your story with rapt attention. By the end of it, you realize she's leaning almost halfway across the table at you with her chin resting on her hand.
Anyway, Rowdy's here. At some point, Rowdy arrived. I see.
Yes. Yeah. The door to the blue plate opens up and Big Easy steps inside. He nods at Evangeline, who nods back.
Oh, Rowdy, you're not going to like this either.
Go on.
We might be working with some people whose interpretation of law is different to yours.
Rowdy looks at Evangeline, who looks back at him. She's already introduced herself, but she does so a second time. Evangeline, but you can just call me Brains. Most people around here do.
Because she's the brains and that's the muscle.
Evangeline looks at you warmly.
As you know, there are some other characters in town who are not exactly above board. So we're going to use some characters who are also playing on a lower board.
You can fill me in on the way to wherever we're going.
I think it's a need-to-know basis, and the less you know, the better for you. Right, Rowdy?
Okay. You get up and you head down to the docks.
Oh, did we get some pecan pie?
Sure, yeah.
It's the best goddamn pecan pie in the world.
So is the plan to... You're not going to attempt to investigate the rum distillery at all. You're going to go just straight to the fracking platform?
We're going to go fracking and we're going to try to get to the rum distillery in tunnels. Okay. But Adam, once we're in the rum distillery, we're just going to wear the uniforms anyway. So from a distance, people might be like, oh, they work here.
Sure.
That's the plan. That's my plan. That's the plan I explained to Evangeline and Rowdy. And then when Rowdy's like, how do we get the... You said there were a bunch of like white supremacist redneck killers running around. How do we get them out of the bayou? I look at Evangeline. I don't say anything and I continue with the rest of the plan.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot something. Sniper's still around.
Yes, he is.
Oh, this is bad.
All of you load up onto two separate airboats. One airboat with you, all of the named characters, basically, and another disposable airboat.
Great. I wonder what's going to happen to that airboat.
We can only imagine.
They're going off to do the distraction.
Yes.
Lure the mercenaries away from the fracking platform.
You drive or you ride together for a little while before they need to peel off. But before they peel off, you can see that...
Oh, we're tooled up too. I got my bat.
Sure, yeah.
We're wearing the rum uniforms. How many uniforms were there?
There were three of the rum uniforms.
So Rowdy, myself, and Evangeline wearing the rum uniforms.
And then Big Easy...
He's in a Hawaiian shirt,
Adam. He wouldn't take it off anyway.
Adam, is he in a darker toned Hawaiian shirt? Partially because it's a night mission.
Stealth Hawaiian.
Partially night mission, partially in mourning.
No, he wears the brightest, biggest Hawaiian shirt he can. That's his way of honoring Grunt.
Should have killed him instead of Grunt. Grunt was a quieter man.
Actually, as the winds are hitting you, his Hawaiian shirt spills open and you can see he's wearing a white singlet underneath.
Oh, Adam, that's breaking my heart. Big Easy, you have feelings and you might die tonight. He's definitely dying. This is going to be fucked up if Heracles is the only person who walks out of this, because I care deeply for Evangeline and in a complicated way, Rowdy.
Evangeline before Rowdy. Evangeline's uncomplicated?
Yeah.
That's very
Evangeline
funny.
And I want the same things.
Anyway, before they need to peel off, you can tell that there's something very definitely wrong. You get a sense for what looks normal in the bayou, like the trees, the scrub brush, you know, all of the plant life and whatnot. But as you get closer...
Oh, Adam, can we have made one stop?
Sure. What do you want to make?
Preemptively. Apologies. Okay. Say we made one stop.
Sure.
I went to the school.
Yeah.
And we went to the library.
Uh-huh.
I've just grabbed a couple of books, okay?
Yeah, what books have you grabbed?
Okay, let's have a think here.
Write them down.
Okay. All right, what books would I have gotten?
Actually, you go to the school. As you're on the drive to the school, I presume you're like, hey, we need to stop off at the school.
Yeah.
Evangeline says to you, why exactly do you need to stop at the school?
I need to check something out of your library.
She seems a little suspicious, and she says, why would you want to check something out of the library?
Reinforcements.
Heracles, I'm sure you are aware we're playing with some pretty powerful forces here. These are not toys, and these are not weapons.
No, I understand that. This is a break glass in case of emergency. Sometimes you use a gun, and... sometimes you need something brighter than the moon.
I'm going to make that a presence persuasion check, because Evangeline is really against this plan.
Oh, man.
You do not get your blue collar bonus. It's a total of 3 dice.
You ruined...
Oh, you get 1 point of willpower back. You spent a lovely dinner with Evangeline. You did nothing to ruin it. I'll give you a point of willpower back.
Well, I actually opened up a lot and told her a personal anecdote about myself.
Sure. No successes. Evangeline is against this plan. And unfortunately, you've waited until it's nighttime, so you probably don't want to make her mad right now.
Why is she against it? I just wanted to get some, like, guys from books that could help us. I think I like 3 Musketeers.
Check it on your phone. See if you could do that surreptitiously.
No, she's against it. She got wolf powers.
Okay.
Oh, I have the Book of a Telltale Heart. Is there anything in that? No. I had to give it back, didn't I? God damn it. Well, this sucks.
On the drive, you spot... Oh, wow. 5 successes. Yeah. On the drive, you spot Rowdy Wilson. He has done it. He pulls out his phone and you can see he's got like Google Play Books or something like that. He downloads, I don't know, what would he download? He downloads like some Tom Clancy novels.
Incredible.
That's all from Rowdy Wilson, I guess that's the first thing he could think of to do.
No, he downloads, okay, can I make one suggestion?
Yes, please.
He downloads Tom Clancy and then also Macbeth. it's the only literature he remembers studying in high school.
Hey, does this technically count as unlucky?
No, we're not doing stage.
Okay.
Break a leg. Oh, okay.
Broke a leg.
Oh, that's a joke of the producers. Yeah, great musical, is. 5 stars.
It is. He downloads the producers as well. That's just for him, though.
Yeah. That's a movie, Adam.
Yeah.
He downloads the novelization of Godzilla.
You know what? Maybe he does just for Locke.
Oh, no. No, Adam. He doesn't do that. He doesn't.
No, it's written down. I can't. It's in pen.
Fuck.
What can I do? He downloads Godzilla, the producers, the audiobook. And the audiobook. Not only did they make a novelization, they made an audiobook of the novelization.
It's read by Mel Brooks. This is my famous musical. Hey!
Mel Brooks, is that you?
Joy is, kid. I love movies.
And he downloads Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six. Oh, you know what he definitely downloads? Is The Hunt for Red October also a book?
Yeah, it is a book.
He downloads that as well.
Sub for a sub, baby. Mm. I don't download a book. Does Evangeline notice that Rowdy has done this?
Nah, she's busy. She's sitting in the front seat. You and Rowdy are in the back.
And she's busy being checking up on me to make sure I didn't download any books.
She just didn't think to do that.
Can I write something on a scrap of paper?
Sure.
Oh, no, Adam, I'm fine. I have a cricket bat that says Majesty on it.
Oh, no. You don't know that's necessarily how it works.
No, I know. But I know that it's not how it works.
Maybe, yeah.
Anyway, we're back on the bayou because this all happened before we got to the bayou now we're on the bayou. Yeah.
All right, anyway, so as I was
previously, later
previously
that day.
Previously on the bayou. It takes a little while, but you get a feel for the foliage, the local wildlife, everything going on.
The vibe.
On. Yeah, the vibe of the bayou. So you can tell
I'm from Louisiana. I know what a bayou's like.
You can tell as things start becoming wrong, distorted. The foliage is too big. Everything is overgrown, but overgrown more so than it even has, more so than it has any right to be. At a certain point, it looks less like you're in the bayou and more like you're in the Amazon.
Oh, heads up. This is some Odic force.
You call out because the airboat's quite loud, so you got to yell to be heard.
Heads up, this is Odic force at work.
I was just going to assume that you had yelled.
No, I'm going to yell.
All right.
I'm committed, Adam.
Evangeline looks quite clearly distressed. No role required. She seems really upset with what's happening here.
What's ruining
her
CDP?
No, it looks more than that. It looks like she's deeply wounded almost by like the destruction to the environment hurts her.
Yeah. She cares about place because she dog lady.
don't call her dog lady.
I love that earlier, Heracles wouldn't say ontologically problematic because that would be rude.
Well, that's Tom.
Oh, man.
I have to take my jumper off. You're making me hot.
I'm going to take mine off too then.
The airboat with all the unnamed goons peels off to take like a shorter route, and you are taking a longer route that will hopefully get you coming at an angle. Evangeline maybe turns to you and over the fan yells, "I had Grunt and Big Easy infiltrate not too long ago from this direction. Hopefully it'll be unprotected. They weren't discovered, so I'm hoping that the gap in their security perimeter still exists."
And then any other things should be dealt with by the distraction your friends are currently putting together.
She holds up crossed fingers.
Evangeline, you should lie down.
She gets a bit low, but the airboat doesn't really accommodate lying down, unfortunately.
And look, is there anywhere where she could be shot from?
Well, it's like you're in the Amazon right now. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's a wizard.
Getting closer and closer, things become worse and worse. You start spotting huge insects. Simply too big. Flies that could pick up and carry away a cat.
Jesus.
Sort of big.
Like the ladybird.
Like the ladybird.
I turn and look at Rowdy. Is this like the deer?
Rowdy watching a fly struggling. A fly that is covered in wings and eyes. It doesn't even look recognizably like a fly, actually. Just a ball of wings and eyes struggling to get its way across the sky. He nods slowly and says, "I wouldn't say it's dissimilar." Thankfully, the saving grace is once something becomes large enough to become a hazard, it becomes too deformed to really do anything. You spot a mosquito that about as big as you.
Yeah.
If it weren't for the fact that the mosquito is all proboscis and legs, hairy legs sticking out where there isn't proboscis. If it weren't for the fact of that, it probably would have caused you some trouble.
This is some fucking old mate. What's his name? That guy who loves Cronenberg. We're in Cronenberg Forest.
You can see that there are clear instances, pretty much the entire forest, actually, the bayou, sorry. The entire bayou becomes, at a certain point, just creations that should be dead. They just should die, but they don't. Instead, they continue to grow and get bigger
and
more deformed.
Is it glowing? Because it's dark now.
Yes. The entire bayou has a soft glow. It's like everything is made out of firefly, basically.
Would you say that I would not believe my eyes if 10 million fireflies made a jungle around me?
I would indeed say you would not believe your eyes if 10 million fireflies. Is it a million or a thousand?
10 million's way more.
Yeah, it is.
Mm. Would you say we're in Owl City, Adam?
I would indeed claim that you were in Owl City. That is correct.
Weird. I thought this place was called Sabineville, but that's okay.
Anyway, yeah, everything has a soft glow to it. It's all kind of a greenish glow. There's no single source of light that is very bright, but all of them together make it very, very bright.
Is it coming from the water?
It's coming from everything. All of the plants here that are affected by it have that glow, and the bugs.
I open my secret eye.
It is similarly blinded.
Oh, it's not glowing, though.
Oh, well, your eye might be glowing, but you can't see it over the glow of everything else. It kind of blends together. Yeah. You can see, as well, Big Easy is kind of shielding his face as he drives.
So who else can see the glow?
You can see it. Big Easy can see it. And that's it, I believe. I don't think Rowdy said he could see it way back when. He certainly, if he could see it then, he can't see it now.
Okay. Huh. Brighter than the moon. Hey, Adam, is it brighter than the moon?
It is, yes.
Maybe he wasn't going to kill Rowdy. Fuck. I got shot.
The spill that is currently happening in this bayou, it seems mostly, thankfully, to be contained to the area around the fracking platform. You can eventually, the forest, jungle, whatever you want to call it at this point, it parts and you can see it's imagine a oil rig standing in the bayou, but only just the platform. And then there's like little lumps of building, but it doesn't go as high as an oil rig should go.
Someone blew it up.
Yeah.
Evangeline blew it up.
You can see there's quite clear damage and efforts at reconstruction. And then, looking the other direction, away from the platform, you see it pretty much peters out after maybe a couple of miles or kilometers, whatever have you. It doesn't go too far from the platform. It seems to be, as best you can tell, it seems to be kind of localized.
Do you allow me to voice a hypothesis?
Evangeline turns around to you and says, please, go on.
I think the Submariners were working in the area. I believe they weren't on a submarine at all, but they got recruited back here by some government agency working out of the rum distillery. It was Sarah Johnson and her friends. They left gear with the preacher. Not that preacher, Rowdy, a different one. He mightn't like us. This is another time. Would you believe I upset somebody today?
Rowdy isn't even acknowledging that you exist right
now. Yeah, okay. Two people today. I believe they were doing something with the Odic Force, either maintaining a facility or a plan, and, I think it broke, leaked, exploded, burst. I don't know what we're going to find at the rum distillery, but I can gather it'll be more of, I hold my eye up, this.
Big Easy, the cigar drops out of his mouth as he goes slack jaw staring at the eye in your hand.
Big Easy, don't even act like this is the weirdest thing you've seen this week.
He shrugs, puts another cigar in his mouth and lights it up. Evangeline hits the power for the engine. The engine dies down. We're going to have to go manual from this point. She stops, looks behind you. You hear it as well. When she turns your engine off, you still hear a engine from back the way you came. Turning a corner, you see Frankie and a bunch of goons on the back of an airboat as well.
Frankie Farnard, are you fucking kidding me?
As soon as they see you, they open fire. You spot Frankie, though. He's standing in such a way, or leaning in such a way, so that the exhaust of it won't fly into the big fan at the back of the boat, but he has a rocket launcher. And he is slowly trying to track your airboat with it. Heracles, it's your turn.
The enemy of my enemy is also my enemy. I turned the engine back on.
Okay.
So we can go faster because they're making the noise is irrelevant.
Right, sure.
And we can go faster towards the fracker.
So you're just going to
keep distance ahead of us.
Okay.
And drive evasively.
You begin driving again. It's Big Easy's turn. He looks at you. Maybe actually doesn't look at Evangeline. He just looks at you, turns back, pedal to metal, and you're going as fast as you can towards the fracking platform.
Weave, Big Easy, weave.
Big Easy tries to make some maneuverability. Tries to do some maneuverability checks. Evangeline can't do anything. Oh, no, Evangeline can shoot.
She has a gun.
Yeah, Evangeline shoots back at
them. Why do I not have a gun, Adam?
I don't know. It's up to you.
Yeah, Heracles doesn't believe in guns.
Bang, bang, bang. She shoots back. Rowdy shoots back. Both of them are firing at the other airboat. You hear them yelling at each other. Evangeline screams, Frankie, shoot Frankie. And then you hear her Rowdy yelling back, which one's Frankie? And Evangeline says, the rocket launcher. All right, it's Frankie's turn.
Okay.
The rocket from the RPG whizzes past.
Oh boy.
Your airship and instead impacts a mangrove tree somewhere. The mangrove tree explodes, obviously. The top half of the mangrove tree flies up a little bit into the air, a couple feet into the air, and then completely turns over and splash hits the water. Anything else you want to do? It's your turn again, Heracles.
Adam, I don't have a gun. Does anybody have a spare gun?
Evangeline looks at you, then gestures down in the airship. You see that there is a harpoon gun.
What's the airship made of?
They're made out of, like, metal, like a...
Cool. I take the harpoon.
Like a rowboat sort of thing.
I take the harpoon gun.
All right.
Adam, I'm going to fire it at their engine, at their fan.
Oh, okay. So this would be firearms dexterity. You have nothing in firearms. You have one dexterity, so it's a chance die.
Unless I spend some willpower, which I just got back from having a lovely dinner.
The harpoon launches from the gun, flies part of the way it needs to, and then impacts in the water way too early.
Yeah, okay, I'm not close enough. Can I wind it back in? How do harpoon guns work?
Yeah, it does. All right. Yeah.
Okay, so well, I've got to wind it in. Let's go.
You start pulling it back in. That'll be your turn. Big Easy tries to do some more evasive maneuvers. He's doing his best to dodge in and between trees. He's really scared to... The airboat technically can go up onto land just for a little bit.
Yeah.
But you can see Big Easy is quite clearly scared of doing that because he loses a lot of control when he does do that.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of space on land. Not here. And then it is the bad guy's turn. Frankie, oh wait, sorry. Some shots. Evangeline, oh my god. Yeah, Evangeline wings Frankie in the shoulder.
Good shit.
As he's reloading the rocket launcher, he spends his entire turn just trying to reload and gets shot. That's his turn.
Good.
But Rowdy gets low. You see him close one eye, aim down his sights on his pistol. You've seen him do this only once before when he shot a dragon in the eye.
Yeah, I've seen him kill a dragon.
He pulls the trigger and the guy driving the other airboat, his head rocks backwards. The airboat loses all control as its driver is killed and begins drifting off to the side. As that happens, a bunch of spotlights from the fracking platform turn on and illuminate both airboats. Heracles.
Can I hit one of the floodlights with the spear gun?
They're pretty far away right now. Oh, you could, with the spear gun, yes, you could try.
All right.
That's a miss, unfortunately.
Are you sure?
Stop winking, it's a miss. You just
what about,
fire
do,
it into
do you
the
have
darkness.
That to say to my friend Dame Nelly Melba? She's on the $100 bill, right, in Australia?
I don't know. I don't know the names of either
right,
of the people.
So then, worse, do you say that to my friend Banjo Patterson, who's on the $10 note?
Banjo Patterson looks incredible on the $10 note. I'll do it for the picture alone. You fire the spear gun. You're kind of half blinded by the fucking floodlights themselves. They're way brighter than the surrounding bayou, even with the glow. So, yeah, you fire into the light does not turn off, so you assume you've missed. Evangeline looks at you, look, we could fight our way through the entire mercenary teams that they're about to send out, or we could just cut our losses and accept that we're going this way anyway.
What?
Well, we surrender to them, so long as they don't know that I'm Evangeline. And I haven't met any of the mercs yet. I've met Miss Sinclair, But so long as we don't introduce ourselves to Miss Sinclair, we can just pretend to be hapless journeymen.
Who being chased by drug dealers. I've pissed a lot of people off.
All right, then. Well...
That sounds like it works. I like this plan.
Oh, I see. Oh, I thought you were... All right, then.
Yeah, no. I'm out here researching urban legends of the bayou, the snake, and we got traced by drug runners who thought we were going after their territory or some shit. I think that works perfectly fine. Rowdy, what say you?
Rowdy, you see, he's putting his hands up as other airboats with mercenaries begin slowly advancing.
Hey, big
you.
Easy. Easy.
He just nods. The airboats arrive, and a bunch of mercs are just in the area now.
Do I recognize any of them?
No, you don't recognize any of them. One of them hops from his airboat onto yours, although they're fully fucking kitted out. They've got camo with body armor. They've got assault rifles, great, backup pistols, perfect, helmets, the whole fucking nine yards.
Are you here for the snake as well?
They look at each other. They look at you. How'd you know about the snake?
Well, it's one of the town's most famous urban legends. That's why we're out here on the bayou.
It ain't a fucking myth.